Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. And if you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, it's no big deal. Just head over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that... Oh, that's right, he's not here today. Beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Doesn't matter what kind of steak you're cooking. Yeah, some guys, you know, they keep it simple. They do fillets and they do ribeyes, and man, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But man, don't be afraid to branch out into a flat iron or a skirt steak. Or I did a big flank steak this past weekend. It was outstanding. So versatile, so many great cuts out there, and it's so easy to cook on the grill. You're not talking about a long day out there in the hot sun when you're cooking steaks. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white is at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Floyd by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, maroon and white, whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, my friends at College Corner have got it. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. A banker that's going to treat you with respect and give you a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I noticed something yesterday, and I have no idea how it happened. If you are an audio listener to Thunder and Lightning, on Friday, you got a 52-minute podcast. If you are a video watcher slash listener, you just watch on YouTube, you only got a 26-minute podcast. For some reason, the video of Carlo and I, of which there was about 25 minutes, didn't upload. I don't know what happened. I guess I wasn't paying attention, but I was looking at it yesterday. I was like, why is this only 26 minutes? It's just the interviews I did with Lebby and with Camario. It's not any of the actual commentary. So if you missed that, maybe go back and listen to it on Spotify or Apple Pods or wherever you get your podcast from. But you missed out on a whole podcast there. It was crazy. So I just wanted to point that out. We've got some interviews again today, so I'm hopeful that everything works okay. But we'll start here. This was one of the better interviews I thought I did at SEC Media Days. Talking to Brian McFadden. Brian McFadden is a former Pittsburgh Steeler and Arizona Cardinal. Played at Florida State, part of their great lineage of cornerbacks, going back to the days of Deion Sanders there in Tallahassee. Now he's an analyst for CBS Sports. I got to meet him and former Alabama running back Damian Harris, who I thought those guys were great all week long. They were kind enough to give us some of their time on all of our programming. And to say that he was very passionate about Kelly Jones and the young man that you know we talked about yesterday, that I feel was completely snubbed, completely just, I don't know how to put it, but like just that he not being first team all SEC was a joke to me, just a joke. It's just nothing against Xavien Brown. He's a really good player. He's not as good as Kelly Jones. Period. End of statement. That's fine. So I asked Brian McFadden. Yeah, I talked a little college football with him just to start things off, but we got into Kelly Jones and he was very passionate about that. So I want to play that interview for you now and let you listen to it. This is former Florida State and NFL defensive back Brian McFadden, now of CBS Sports. All of our interviews here on the podcast, as you know, are brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. If you are into recovery, so I rebooted my programs today. You know, I've past couple of months, like I guess I started back in April. I just kind of the grind of these past 3 years finally caught up to me, and I was just like, I gotta step away. So, I've put on some weight. Today is my first day of actually really trying hard again. Gonna really watch my calories and all that. But what does that mean? It means, I exercised pretty hard today. I walked about 4 miles. I did a DDP yoga regimen. If I'm gonna be by Friday, if I'm doing that every day, I'm gonna be pretty sore. So that means I need to make an appointment at Alora Modern Wellness to get some recovery. Maybe the cryotherapy. Maybe I'll do another round with the Escape robotic massage. Whatever it is, whatever you need to keep your body feeling its best, Alora Modern Wellness has a service for you. Visit them online at aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of your services right there. Or you can call them at 662-268-9255. They're happy to talk to you and set everything up and talk you through what their services are and what they can do for you. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with CBS Sports, Bryant McFadden. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi here at SEC Media Days in Tampa. It's Mississippi State's day at SEC Media Days. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about Kelly Jones. You're going to hear from him in just a few minutes here on the show. This is a man who knows a thing or two about playing at the defensive back position and being out there on the island. That's Bryant McFadden, former All-American at Florida State, longtime NFL, Steelers and Cardinals, and now working with CBS Sports. And Bryant, let's start with just some SEC stuff here today. As we're wrapping things up, LSU and Texas, those are two teams that are going to be in the mix. I think Texas is a championship contender. I think LSU is certainly a playoff contender, and if things go right for them, they could be in the national championship mix. Both of those teams are extremely talented. What do you like the most about the Tigers and the Longhorns?
Well, I'll highlight the Longhorns first and foremost. Yeah. The continuity they have, especially on the offensive side when you talk about the quarterback. If you're telling me the Arch Manning that we watched the second half of the season is going to surface throughout the entirety of 2026, good luck the rest of the SEC. Because what he displayed in the second half was outstanding, right? And the thing about Arch, he's a superior athlete at the quarterback position. Oftentimes, I think we kind of overlook the athleticism, the mobility, the ability to become a plus one in the running game at any given time. And he was throwing the football with more confidence, and they brought in an array of talent. When you look at Cam Coleman, they took from got from Auburn.
Oh, they took. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I've tried to be kind of nice with it. But yeah. we know the reality. But you talk about Cam, he could potentially be one of the best wide receivers in the SEC. So the Longhorns, man, they're ready to rock and roll. Yeah. They're ready to rock and roll. And then when you look at LSU, the expectations are very, very high, right? They didn't have the overall success that Texas had, but they have the same expectations Texas have coming into this season because of the amount of money they spent bringing in Lane Kiffin, adding to his staff, having one of the more praised transfer portal classes in all of college football, and bringing in Sam Leavitt, who they gave a boatload of money to play like a Heisman-type player. So the expectations are very, very high in Baton Rouge, and is up the lane to deliver like he did at Ole Miss.
You played at a program where expectations are always going to be high. Yeah. LSU, you just mentioned expectations there. How do players manage expectations? Do they just take it game by game, or does the weight of coming into the season, expecting to be in the playoff, expecting to be in the national championship race, does that weigh on a player?
It can if you overthink it. I think in terms of pressure, pressure is what you make it to be. If you overthink something, you're going to put more pressure on yourself, and oftentimes that creates a sense of nervousness. But if you take it game by game and you prepare the right way and you go out and you play football the right way and play hard, everything will work itself out, and just do your job. Don't do someone else's job. Do your job and understand there's no job too small.
That's good. That's good. That's good advice there. That's
so like no job too
small. The gospel according to McFadden right there. I like that.
Yes, sir.
When we think about the other teams that we've seen this week, I think that Alabama is a team that, has that weight of expectation as well. I think, obviously, Georgia is going to be right there in that discussion. Who's a team that maybe we're not expecting to be in this discussion, to be for the playoffs or maybe in the championship race, that could step up and do that?
I got one for you.
Go.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Auburn.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm saying Auburn, you talked about a team no one is really expecting to be in that conversation. I think they could be that team because they have a quarterback.
Right.
Right. Byron Brown might be the best dual threat quarterback in the SEC. And that says a lot when you look at Marcel Reed being in the SEC. You look at Trinidad Chambliss. Mm-hmm. But just the physical ability he has when he becomes a runner is felt. Not to mention he's throwing the football well. He has really improved as a passer. And their defense, retaining DJ Durkin was probably the best move Alex Golish made when he became the head coach, because the continuity and just the structure they had defensively and the way they play was felt. They just couldn't score any points.
Right.
Their offense was anemic. They had no pulse.
Right.
So if you're telling me their offense can be better, can be more consistent and score points, not rely on field goals or punts, their defense is going to live up to the billing. That could be a team that can really open some eyes. And get this, week three, they're at home against Florida.
Right.
And it might not be a big game, right? But if they show up against the Gators at home, that will provide confidence, and who knows?
Week three and week four are so interesting. Everybody's focused on LSU Ole Miss in week three. I get that. But you just mentioned a big game there. Also in week three, you've got South Carolina, Mississippi State, two teams that want to advance this year.
Yeah.
Huge game there. And then week four, I've been saying this for a while. You've got LSU, Texas A&M, and Florida Ole Miss.
Mm.
I think the emotions of whatever happens in Oxford, win or lose, is going to carry over for both teams into those next week matchups.
Yeah.
So we could get out of September and have complete chaos in the SEC.
I'm all for it.
I know you are.
I'm all for it.
Let's talk a little bit about Mississippi State. And you mentioned you think Byron Brown's going to be one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks in the conference. Mississippi State's got a guy that would like to talk to you about that, and Kamario Taylor.
I'm sorry, Kamario.
A absolute physical
you
know, phenomenon, but the experience level isn't there for him. How quickly can a young quarterback pick things up in that way? You know, his first start of the season is only his third start.
Yeah.
But how quickly does a young, inexperienced quarterback become a young, experienced quarterback?
Well, you got to trust the system, and there lies the ability for coaching to do what they've been paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because to your point, you don't question his athleticism.
No.
He looks the part.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys you want to get off the bus first.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you don't question that element. You question the element for Kamario. Just make routine plays happen routinely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mike Tomlin needs to tell us in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you to go out and make heroic plays or these unbelievable, entertaining plays.
Right.
If you make the routine plays happen routinely, we're going to be in positions to win ball games. Hint, a simple out route. Go through your drop, bam, make it. A simple curl route, slant route, rhythm-like throws. Make those plays happen routinely. I think oftentimes coaches and fans, they get mesmerized with the big plays. Those are not what get you in positions to win ball games. It's the routine plays happen routinely. When you look at Pat Mahomes, you know he has the ability to give you the entertaining, but he makes the routine things happen routinely.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to do.
On the defensive side of the ball, Mississippi State bringing back Zach Arnett, that 3-3-5 system, that puts corners out on the island a lot of times, where I know a lot of cornerbacks want to be. When you are in a system like that, you know, how important is attitude about being a cornerback, of the mentality of, I'm out here by myself, I've got to do it?
Well, me personally, I come from a mentality, regardless of the system, your attitude got to be throwed off.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you play defense, you got to be willing to eat some pencils. Yeah, you got to be willing to eat some pencils
like
at
that.
Any given time. That's how you got. That's how you got to play football, right? You can't be out there timid, hesitant. You got to be willing to play full speed every step of the way. That's just where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about being a part of a 3-3-5, you know my logic when it comes to that system. If you're going to run that system, your D lineman better be hell.
Yeah.
Especially that nose.
Mm-hmm.
He better be a man mover, right? Because you're limited with bodies, and you have more little guys on the football field than anything. But in terms of the secondary play, I come from an area where you got to be willing to eat pencils. If you don't want to eat no pencils in my secondary, if I was a coach, I can't do nothing with you.
Well, I don't know if Kelly Jones would say I'd like to eat pencils, but he strikes me as a pencil eater.
I like Kelly.
Well, here's what I've said about him. I remember when he was recruited to Mississippi State, and you see a kid who's like 6'4" and 195 pounds come out of high school, you think he'll end up a linebacker. He's 6'4", he's got the big frame. There's not a lot of 6'4" cornerbacks out there. I think about a guy like, you know, a Randy Moss or a Calvin Johnson. If you could be 6'4" and match up with those guys with the athleticism, we got about – a minute and a half left. Give me the scouting report for you on Kelly Jones.
Is Kelly, is this a Mississippi State based radio? What are we doing?
Well, yeah, yes, it is.
If Kelly is listening to me, please take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Take the game seriously. You have an opportunity to make a boatload of money. I don't know what he's making NIL base, but what he has, he is the Sauce Gardner of college football.
Wow.
He is rangy. He is lengthy. If I didn't know any better, I thought if he stood up straight, he can scratch his ankles without bending over. He has long arms.
Yeah.
That's a serious attribute to have. And the thing I love about him, the development. I watched him a year ago. My favorite game from Kelly was Texas.
Yeah.
At home, Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. He broke off on a 7-cut. It was a scissors concept. Number one ran a post. Number two ran a 7-cut, which is a corner route. He was covering the post route, but because he had disciplined eyes, he was able to come off on the post and intercept the 7-cut. You don't usually see that in college football. Mm-hmm. That's league-like play. That's league adjustment. Great eyes. The athleticism is there, and he's a willing participant in the running game. Those are the guys I like, and he's 6'4", 197. Yeah. I don't know how fast he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I can tell you this much. If he take it serious this year, he would be a top 10 pick. Now, I'll say that not knowing his 40 time. Now, if he go out there and run 4.7, 4.8, then, of course. You
right.
Know that.
But I'm just talking about. You're just watching him play, though. He seems fast enough.
Go back and watch that Texas game.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
You were there, so you know I'm not lying.
You're not making this
if
up.
If I'm lying, tell me shut up.
I won't.
All right, then.
I do have to tell you to shut up.
I'm nothing but
the segment's almost over.
I'm a vessel, and I'm here to preach the good football gospel.
I love it. Brian McFadden, CBS Sports, NFL legend,
Kelly,
Florida State legend.
Listen to him. Get this to Kelly.
I get it to him.
Please take it serious.
Well, I'm going to talk to him, and we'll make it happen.
He here?
He'll be here tomorrow.
I got to talk to Kelly. I'm a fan of Kelly. We got to set that up.
We'll set it up.
Yes.
Thunder and Lightning. We'll be back in just a minute.
Again, I want to thank Brian for his time. That's one of the I don't know if the best is the right word, but – it really came through that he, you know, and after the interview, he was like, make sure I get to meet him tomorrow. We recorded that on Wednesday, and State's A was Thursday. And so I was trying to get them together. He ended up leaving, but I got his number, gave it to Mississippi State. So I'm hopeful that those guys have connected because he desperately wanted to meet Kelly and talk to him and I guess give him the motivational speech there of, you know, hey, you got a big opportunity right in front of you. You've got to take it seriously. That's a great message, in my opinion. You know, the physical stuff will come easy. Playing the games is the easy part. It's just about doing the little things and how to put it, just doing the little things and making sure that you're not putting yourself in bad situations. Because he's right, like Kelly Jones. When we're talking about, you know, July 27th is when I'm recording here, July 27th, 2027, Kelly Jones should be a millionaire. He should be worth a lot of money and should be well on his way to being another great Mississippi State defensive player at the next level, you know, and kind of, you know, keeping that tradition alive of great Mississippi State cornerbacks. So really good stuff from Brian. I will definitely try to have him back on just to talk some college football with us, if not on this show, on Sports Talk Mississippi. Very soon. Let's do another interview, and then we'll do the break. It's opponent preview. We need to get one done. We're gonna have to do two this week because we skipped out last week. But I caught up with Tyler McComas. He is the host of The Rush on The Ref. It's an Oklahoma sports talk radio station. This is a shorter interview, just because we were recording, and unfortunately we had some other stuff going on. And I had to get him out of there. I forget who was coming by at the time. May have been Greg Sankey or something. It was like, we got 8 minutes here. Let's just kind of make it work. So this is Tyler McComas, again, brought to you by Allura Modern Wellness. His thoughts on the Oklahoma Sooners this upcoming season.
Oklahoma on the Mississippi State schedule, I believe, for the first time ever. And they'll make the trip to Starkville in mid-October. Tyler McComas joins us now, host of The Rush on The Ref. You can hear him all over the state of Oklahoma. I'll be honest with you. A year ago, I was not a believer in the Oklahoma Sooners. I thought that that was a team that was going to struggle. I thought that was a team that Brent Venables might be in some trouble coming off of two bad years in his first three. They completely made me look like a fool. I'm totally used to that, so that's not a problem. Why was Oklahoma good enough to be a college football playoff team last year?
Well, first off, you act like you were the only one that said that last year.
You're not wrong.
I was at this event last year, and people were patting me on top of the head after a 6-7 season saying, sorry, buddy, it might get better, but see, we told you this is what it was going to be like in the SEC. So it's been different this time around.
Yeah.
Why were they able to get to the playoff last year? Because they had their best defense in 20 years, and this has been a program over the years, not recently, but over the years, it's had some great defenses. They had to lean on their great defense, a Groza Award-winning kicker that even with the short shorts out there would make 50-yard field goals like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And they use the formula, which is just undefeated, of, all right, let's go into games such as on the road in Knoxville, on the road in Tuscaloosa. Let's do nothing offensively, but let's make it to where we have to score a defensive touchdown and kick a bunch of long field goals to win the game. I mean, just a strategy that's just proven over time. That's what they did. They won on the back of great special teams and great defense last year.
In the first half of the season, they won on the back of John Mateer, who was, for the first four or five games, the best quarterback in the country. Gets injured and just really wasn't the same. I think he had to, you know, credit to his toughness to get out there and play in that situation. Mateer looks the part this year. He looks healthy. I think he's going to be a huge, huge factor for the Sooners this year. How good can he be? Can we get a full season out of what we got in the first four games of John Mateer?
That's dependent on, are they willing and are they able to use him in a different way than they did last year? You're right. After OU beat Michigan, man, John Mateer might be my leader right now for the Heisman Trophy. But if you go back and watch that game, and I was even talking about it in the postgame show, like, hey, great win. Had to have it. Must win game. But, man, the way that they used John Mateer, that's cool if they did it for this game, running the ball seemingly every single snap. Like he ran it a lot. Like, you just put a lot on his plate last year physically. And they still had, because they couldn't traditionally just line up and run the football, they had to put an extra blocker in there and rely on their quarterback to run the ball. If that's the plan this year, then he may not stay healthy, because everyone remembers the thumb injury that he had, but he also had a lower body injury from the way that they were using him as a runner last year as well. Yes. And not a lot of people know that. I don't think that they want to put as much on his plate this year. They've got a better supporting cast around. Brent Venable said as much yesterday. But they've got to have a traditional run game. And if they do, it's going to open up everything for John Mateer. I think that he himself, now that he's healthy, yes, he'll be a better player going through the SEC. But I think he's dependent on, do they have a consistent run game? Do they have pass catchers around him that really emerge? And the answer to that is yes. I think we could be talking about a top three quarterback in the SEC this year.
I love this website, Our Lads. I'm sure a lot of people use it. It has everybody's depth chart on it, right? And when you see that on the offensive line, returning starters, always a great sign. And Oklahoma last year, that was, to me, the big difference. On the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, we talked about SEC ready a year ago. They were SEC ready last year on the line of scrimmage. Is this offensive line as good as it is in the country?
Well, we're looking at it right now, and you see Michael Fasusi, former five-star. He's a sophomore. Right. Eddie Pierre-Louis, who was here yesterday, redshirt sophomore.
Big man.
Ryan Fauge, sophomore. When OU played a huge football game against Ole Miss last year, those three guys were starting. Michael Fasusi at left is a freshman. Fauge was – he may have played right tackle that game as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. Eddie Pierre-Louis as a redshirt freshman. I haven't been in the SEC very long. Still smart enough to know that ain't ideal.
That's not the best.
But that the payoff is just that, right? That all three of those guys are supremely talented, and they've got real legitimate SEC experience under their belt now, and it doesn't necessarily feel like they're going to be sophomores. Here's – I say it's a running joke. It's really been the reality – is at this point for like the past 4 or 5 years, it's, hey, I think this OU offensive line could be pretty good. Mm-hmm. I see where they could be really good, and I'm optimistic about this. And then they get to training camp, and they get beat up for whatever reason. They lose two or three guys for the season and training camp or earlier in the year. I am as optimistic as I've been, but I'm a little bit hesitant just because I know what's happened recently. They haven't been good enough at that spot. But they've got their five there, man, and Amarian Harris, a transfer from Arkansas who's played a lot of SEC ball. It does feel like they're set up to have their best offensive line since, I don't know, they won the Joe Moore Award in like 2018 or so. I think it has the chance, and it needs to be that level of O-line if you're going to get back to the playoff.
This wasn't a good defense last year. It was a great defense, and they bring back a ton of guys. this year. And Brent Venables is a coach. I'm just going to put myself in his hands when it comes to defense. I'm going to believe that his team is going to be good defensively. I guess sort of the same question, though. Can this be the best team in the conference defensively?
Yeah. I think they've got enough return. They're starting 11. It's the most star-studded 11 that I think that they've had. If there's a question with the defense, it's depth. Mm-hmm. But I think guys are going to emerge. Taylor Wine was here yesterday. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew who Taylor Wine was last year, and he emerged. Nobody knew who Owen Heineke was before he won in courts. You guys are familiar with that one in the state of Mississippi. Owen Heineke got an extra year. So the point is depth a concern? It may be today on paper. But under Brent Venables and this defensive staff, they're going to have four or five guys that emerge. So we're not talking about today that become really good players. Their D-line, is as good as you're going to find in the conference. Their linebacker duo, I think, is going to be as good as you. I mean, they've got two legitimate Butkus Award guys going into the season. Their corners are really good. The back end is really good. And what's funny is when I talked to Taylor Wine yesterday, who was here, we talked about the defense. And I thought I was talking to Brent Venables because he's like, I don't know.
That's
dude.
Good stuff.
I mean,
it's just coach
it's
talk.
It's just not good enough, man. I mean, it took us five games to create a turnover, and I don't know, man. We've just been talking so much about we got to be better in this stat and that stat. So it was nice to hear that by the numbers, by the way, last year defensively, they had some of the best numbers in the SEC since the last Georgia national championship team. So it was nice to hear that they had that great year, and it's not like, hey, man, we made it.
Right.
They're
ready to improve.
We got to be better in a lot of areas.
We only got about 60 seconds left. We got to cut it just a little bit short here today. But I always talk about the playoffs as there's playoff contenders and there's championship contenders. Is Oklahoma a championship contender?
I think they will be. They've got to answer some questions on the offense. And they've got that brutal 3-5 at Michigan, at Georgia, Texas, and Dallas to start the year. That's three of your first five games. I think ultimately the answer to that will be yes, because they'll navigate that. They won't go 0-4 in that stretch. And they won't be the best offense in the SEC. Mm-hmm. But they'll be the most improved side of the football in the entire conference. And understand what I'm saying, because it wasn't good last year. I mean, the LSU offense would be in contention for that as most improved side of the ball.
Yeah.
But I think OU is going to be right there as well. And what could an OU defense that's already really good, how much better could they look if they actually have an offense that can run the ball and win time of possession and not turn the ball right back over when they give you a short field? I think because of the offense being so much better, it's even going to help out the defense.
Tyler McComas from The Ref, host of The Rush. Appreciate your time, man.
You bet. Anytime.
So we've talked a few times about this stretch for Mississippi State of Alabama at home, at LSU, Oklahoma at home, at Texas. You're not alone if your first thought process is, if State's going to win one of those games, Oklahoma is the most likely. I would agree with you on that. At LSU feels really, really tough. At Texas feels just about impossible. I don't know what Alabama is just yet. The best case scenario of Alabama would beat Mississippi State pretty easily. Is that what you're going to get? I don't know. I don't know the answer. But then you have Oklahoma, a team that struggled at times last year. And is Mateer going to be the guy we saw the first four games, or was that an illusion? Are they going to be, you know, better up front on both sides of the ball? I think defensively they're going to be really, really, really good. This is a game where maybe Kamario Taylor has to put the cape on if Mississippi State's going to have any chance of beating Oklahoma. But in that four-game stretch, and got to think about what we're saying. If you're an Oklahoma fan and you're listening, don't. What I'm saying is, if you maybe give you spreads on those four games, the Oklahoma spread would probably be the lowest. Like, I might say Alabama minus 17.5 and LSU minus 20.5 and Texas minus 24.5. And Oklahoma, I might say 14.5. So, yes, statistically, when we're talking about probabilities and mathematics and things of that nature that I don't really like to talk about, Mississippi State would probably be most likely to beat Oklahoma. But are they likely to beat Oklahoma? No, they are not. They are not. They will be a double-digit underdog in that game in all likelihood, unless something, you know, unique happens between now and then. If State comes into that game, let's just play the best-case scenario game. State's 5-1. You know, they've beaten they won the first four games, and they've split Alabama and LSU. They've won one of those two games. then yeah, maybe it could completely flip around. What's Oklahoma's first six look like here? And Oklahoma in that situation, they lose to Michigan, they lose to Georgia, and they lose to Texas, and they come to Starkville, and they're 1-2, they're 3-3. Okay. So we're playing best case, worst case scenarios here. Sure. Sure, there's a way that that could happen. But in all likelihood, State will be an underdog in that game and likely to be a double-digit one. And that's okay to talk about here on July 27th when we get to – what week is that game? It's October the 24th. So when we get to October the 20th, is that when we'll do our picks that week, October 20th, October 21st? Need to be – you know, I'd like to see a difference in that. Yeah, that's a long way off, though, for Mississippi State. But this Sooner team, a year ago, I don't. There's nothing about Venables. I just don't have a good taste in my mouth about him. I just don't know what it is. Like, you know, his first year at Oklahoma, they weren't great. His second year, they were really good. His third year, they were bad. Last year, they were really good. Is he a roller coaster coach? Is he gonna be one of these guys? Here's the problem, though. If he has another roller coaster year, if he's down this year, I would say if he's worse than 9-3, he probably gets fired. This is Oklahoma. They have a standard there. You know, 8-4 doesn't get the job done at Oklahoma. If you tell me three of your first 5 years you've won eight or fewer games at Oklahoma, I'm going to tell you you're probably going to get fired. And I've talked about this a few times. There's these stealth hot seat situations in the conference this year. Coaches that we're not talking about being on the hot seat right now, but they are based on the results of the season. DeBoer is one of those guys. Golding is one of those guys. Sarkisian is one of those guys. Venables is one of those guys. Elko could be one of those guys. Could be if they're 8-4, 7-5 team. Is Heupel one of those guys? Like, what if it doesn't work out with either one of those quarterbacks and they go 6-6? There's pressure there. So these are guys that right now, no, if you said, I think Kalen DeBoer's on the hot seat, people would shout you down. They just gave him an extension to be a $60 million buyout. You're correct. But if he goes 9-3 and misses the playoff for the second time in 3 years, you're at Alabama. They're going to have to find $60 million laying around. Sarkisian, if he misses the playoffs and Arch Manning doesn't ever get to go to the college football playoff, they're going to fire him. If it goes bad for Golding and he's 7-5, I mean, I don't know if they'd fire him after year one, but that's not a great sign for year two. Well, after you lose Chambliss and Lacey and the rest of them, some of these things are, you know, they're unlikely. I think Texas is fine. I think Alabama will be pretty good. I think they'll be in the playoff discussion. Ole Miss, I expect to be good and in the playoff discussion. Oklahoma, I expect to be good. A&M, I expect to be pretty good. But things happen every year, guys. Every year, somebody that you expected to be good was bad, and somebody you expected to be bad was good. And if that happens to one of those coaches, then we're going to be having some interesting conversations about them towards the end of November. This is the sport now. You pay these coaches so much money, you give them a situation where, like, hey, your roster sucks, flip it today. We'll give you the money to do it. Texas, Ole Miss, especially A&M, they're not hurting for cash. I don't think Tennessee and Alabama really are either, Oklahoma either. So if you're investing so much and you're not getting results, you got to move to the next guy. Mississippi State's the same way. Just that they don't have the expectation level of those programs. But Lebby's seat is hot. I saw a great post on 3. It's like, one way or the other, Mississippi State fans are going to be happy at the end of the season. Because either Jeff Lebby's going to improve and this team's going to win, or you're going to have a new coach. There doesn't appear to be any room for middle ground with Mississippi State. That's a good thing, in my opinion. The less gray, the better for them. So, Oklahoma, that's a game I'll be interested to see if State can do anything in that game. Road game, first time ever. Nobody on that roster, you know, none of the coaching staff. You know, I'm sure some of them have been here, but also one thing I like about, by the way, just for me, but like having Alabama and Oklahoma at home means that if you do have a lot of opposing fans there, it's not really that noticeable. It's not like last year with Tennessee and Ole Miss when they were powder blue and all, like Oklahoma's colors and Alabama's colors, they can blend in. So you'll never know. Look like a packed house there. Hopefully that won't be the case. All right, let's move into the last bit of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother over in the Cotton District. The place to find smoked Southern soul food. The place to find a fancy sandwich. Two great, outstanding places to eat here in Starkville. I love Two Brothers. I love the older brother. And if you haven't eaten there, well, you're just plain old-fashioned missing out. So make it a point. You're not going to be here anytime soon when you get here to football season. Get over to the older brother. Get over to Two Brothers and have a great meal in the Cotton District. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copy or new printer, new laptops, new computers, call Advantage Business Systems. And then if you need service, it's another phone call to the same number, the same people. You know them. They know you because they're in Mississippi. If you're in Mississippi, a lot of times, they're going to fix your problem the exact same day. Nobody else can promise you that. You deal with a lot of these bigger brands, and they're like, all right, we'll send somebody out there. It should be about 7 to 10 days. I know it. I've lived that life. Don't be like that. Work with Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go if you're looking for great Mississippi State gear here in Starkville, the Golden Triangle. Nobody in town with a bigger or better selection. There's all sorts of places that sell Mississippi State stuff. They're all selling the same stuff, guys. You go from one to the other, it's the same things. Nobody has the selection that my friends have over at Maroon & Co. And also, nobody else has our promo code, so nobody else is going to save you any money. That's Thunder15. Take 15% off the regular price of any purchase at Maroon & Co. You can do that in-store or online at maroonandco.com. Next time you're looking to buy some Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the name to know. Are you looking for a new John Deere mower? Be a zero turn because you're just a normal homeowner like me? Or if you got the big job, you got the huge tracts of land, you might need a John Deere compact tractor. Series 1 through Series 5. How big a boy are you? Well, whatever the job is, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has a John Deere mower ready for you. Visit them today. Talk to their credit department. They can get you a great, great deal and put you in the John Deere mower that you want to be in. John Deere and Scruggs. Scruggs, you're a North Mississippi John Deere dealer. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, let my friends at Good Hope Land and Timber help you out. If you are trying to figure out how to best manage your own land, manage your resources and your timber, Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely step in and give you a hand with that. But if you're just trying to buy or sell land right now, Good Hope Land and Timber is there to help you make the right sale or get the right price for your land in the sale. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a phone call. 601-442-9888. Or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted and landowner approved. Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, Mississippi State. I'm sorry, the SEC announced today all of its conference dates are set for the upcoming men's basketball season. Allow me to rant for just a moment. I am sick and tired of playing Alabama twice a year. Why is this a twice-a-year series? This is not a rivalry. Alabama has completely dominated Christian since he's been there. Why is it? Alabama's one of the best programs in the country. They should be playing Alabama. I'm sorry, they should be playing Auburn, Tennessee, and Kentucky twice a year. Maybe Florida. Not Mississippi State. I don't care that it's the closest. I don't care. I don't want to play Alabama twice a year. That being said, the first conference game of the year, it's Alabama. January 2nd in Starkville. The times are not set for, I don't believe, any of these games. That'll come out a little later. So State starts conference play in Starkville on January 2nd. That's a Saturday against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Then their first road game of the year will be either on the Tuesday or Wednesday following. They haven't set all that up yet. And I think that's true for all of the midweek games will be either Tuesday or Wednesday. Nothing is set in stone, I don't believe, yet. But it's in Nashville at Vanderbilt. Back-to-back road games will be at Oklahoma that weekend. Then back home against Florida. And then the weekend they're back in Georgia, at Georgia. Kentucky comes to Starkville January 19th or January 20th. That will probably end up being a Super Tuesday game. It's Kentucky. Again, I will make my annual plea to our friends in the Bryan Building to just make that a normal game. No whiteout, no crazy stuff, just that Kentucky's playing Mississippi State. Let's just play the game. South Carolina and Starkville, so back-to-back home games. January 23rd is that one. Auburn on a midweek. That's the one time they'll play the Tigers. That's in Auburn this year. Then a trip to Fayetteville on January 30th. Missouri, then Texas A&M back-to-back. That's February 2nd/3rd, and then February 6th. First game with the Ole Miss Rebels, February 13th. I would just make an assumption that is also opening weekend of college baseball. So we'll probably see how that goes. But Ole Miss in Oxford on February 13th. The return trip for the Alabama to Tuscaloosa, the 16th or 17th. LSU comes to Starkville on February 20th. Texas comes to Starkville in the midweek, February 23rd or 24th. A double dip with South Carolina, so State will go to Columbia. That's the one of the other two games that they – so there are three opponents they play twice, Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina. That game's on February 27th. Tennessee in Knoxville, March 2nd or 3rd. And then the final game of the year in Starkville is against the Ole Miss Rebels. I've been racking my brain. I don't remember the Egg Bowl of basketball being like the Egg Bowl and being the last game of the season ever. I don't have any recollection of that. If you have a stronger memory than that one, you feel free to let me know. But I don't remember that game ever being the final game of the season. But that's March 6th against the Ole Miss Rebels in Starkville. So that's your SEC schedule. Of course, from a non-conference schedule, there's only three games that are completely – I'm sorry, not three. There's more than that. These are the games that are completely locked in. Opening night, Monday, November 2nd against Tennessee Tech. Northwestern State that Thursday, also in Starkville. They will play in the Greenbrier tip-off against Xavier on November the 13th. That's the Friday. Then they'll play the winner. Let me see what that field is real quick. We'll just Google that real quick. The Greenbrier tip-off. Xavier versus Mississippi State. Oh, it's just one game. Oh, well, I didn't know that. All right, fine then. I thought that was one of those tournaments. So Xavier, make sure you tell your friends it's Xavier, not Xavier. As a guy who went to St. Francis Xavier Academy in Vicksburg, Mississippi. There's no X. The pronunciation of the X is not there. It's Xavier. There's a Z on the front. So tell your friends. Battle for Atlantis. They haven't set the matchups for that yet. Who is all in the tournament, though? Battle for Atlantis this year. Let's see here. The men's teams are Marquette, Memphis, Mississippi State, Penn State, Texas A&M, Virginia, Wake Forest, and the aforementioned Xavier. So I don't know who – they have not announced who's doing what there. So that's the weekend of Thanksgiving, November 25th, the Wednesday, and November 27th. SEC-ACC Challenge, Mississippi State with Georgia Tech in Starkville. Another quick rant, if you don't mind. How many times does Mississippi State have to play Georgia Tech? Is this like the third time or the fourth time they've played Georgia Tech in this? Can we not mix it up a little bit? What's wrong with Boston College, huh? What's wrong with, I don't know, Miami, somebody else? Just, I'm tired of Georgia Tech. But that game's in Starkville. Alabama A&M on December 7th. Big game at Marquette, December 12th. That game is scheduled in Milwaukee. So that's a true road game against a really good program. If you remember, when Jans' first year, he beat Marquette. That was a huge win for their resume throughout the year. It was like their best win throughout the season. So, and then nothing else is scheduled. I would imagine there's another game between December 12th and January 2nd, probably two more games. So we'll wait on those to get announced. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Get us the questions. Carlo's going to be here, and we will get them answered. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.